This is Sunday morning, September 23rd, 2018. I just want to say something. The last teaching I taught on, I didn't mention Hebrews chapter 11. Maybe for homework this week, you can go and read that because it talks about Abraham and different ones in the Faith Hall of Fame. But it doesn't mention what their failures. It only mentioned their faith. God does not see your failures. He sees your faith. And you know, that's why when Jesus healed, he would tell people, your sins are forgiven. Your failures. So they could get their eyes on the Lord and have faith to believe. We're going to look at this morning, he healed them all. This is going to be part three. First scripture I want to look at is Matthew 12. Verse 15, and many people joined and accompanied him, and he cured all of them. All of them. It wasn't a matter of, well, let me see. Are you doing everything right? Well, you hadn't been paying your tithe. Oh, well, you know, you might have said something to somebody who was ugly. Maybe you really did something awful. You know, Jesus didn't ask them. He didn't come out with a list saying, okay, before you can receive healing, we've got to go through hours of repentance first before we can do this. No. See, healing is God's calling card. You don't have to even be born again to receive healing. Which is obvious. Because none of them that Jesus healed were born again. None of them. Not possible yet. He even stepped over the line and healed some Gentiles, who certainly wouldn't have qualified. But healing, we've been talking about, you know, when praying for the sick, it's very important that they realize that they qualify. They have to know it is God's will to heal. And I would say, based on what we talked to about earlier, about this failure mentality, that most people probably feel like, well, you know, I just didn't do enough. I could have done more and I didn't do enough. I know Brother Hagin dealt with a man that was really sick and could die at any time. And the Lord said, would I ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do? Well, the man just felt guilty because I could have given more, I could have done more, and I've just not done what I could have done. Well, the Lord healed him. When he got him past all of that garbage, then the man could receive his healing. Lived another 20, 30 years. When the doctor said you could drop dead at any minute. But when he let that old guilt and shame, that qualifier, see, the devil will make sure, well, have you done this? Sounds just like the devil, doesn't it? Have you done that? Whether you realize it or not, the devil's religious. And he goes to church. And he hangs around with a lot of Christians. Well, it's the truth. Pathetic, but it's the truth. What about the prodigal, the older brother? Well, I've been here all these years. I've done everything right, everything you said. Been here every service. Always paid my tithes. And then this whoremonger comes in here. And you give him the fatted calf. You've never even given me a fatted calf. Isn't that the way it is? It is the truth. Okay, it is God's will to heal. We got to qualify. Now I want you to listen to this because you're going to be called upon to use it sometime. You're going to be called upon. You will have opportunity in the future to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Okay, Isaiah. These are three scriptures that you can take to the bank. If you can get them to see this, don't try to overwhelm people. Don't just talk and talk and talk and talk and just get complicated. Make it simple. Keep it simple. It wasn't usually Jesus doing all the talking, it was the people. Like the woman with the issue of blood, you know, she had to tell him all. All she'd been through, all the doctors and all the money, she didn't have the money, you know, all the years. He just listened to her. Let me find my Isaiah. I'm going to have to change these tabs. Okay. This is Isaiah 53. Might be hitting some nerves today, huh? All right. 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. I like verse 10. I think it goes with it. It should have been put up there. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. So all the things that plague humanity were put on him, and he bore it for us. Okay, now, you know, I like Keith Moore's illustration in his series, God's Will to Heal. He said Isaiah saw the Lord being whipped when he was doing his teaching. He said the Lord was the one that was being flayed. And it said the Lord was pleased. Not that he didn't want his son to suffer, but he chose to come and suffer the brunt of all our punishment, all of that on his body. Said it was, let me read this again. I'm not sure what the King James says about that. Where did I go? Where was I reading? 53. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. When you and he make his life an offering for sin, and he has risen from the dead in time to come, he shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So what did God see? Why was it acceptable? Because instead of that one son, he now would have many sons. You understand? He was the first among many brethren. Okay. Matthew 8:17. If you can get people to sit down and look in their Bibles and read it for themselves, get their eyes on what the Word of God says about them. 8:17. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. Okay, now 1 Peter 2:24, which to me is the best of the best because it talks about it in past tense, like not going to be, but already done. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on an altar and offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to sin, live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. How can you argue with that? But I feel. Well, that's a lie. Feelings are lies. Satan uses feelings to deceive you. Satan operates in the sense realm. That's how he fools you. He tries to scare you. Healing is God's calling card. Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leads men toward repentance. This is why God heals the sick, whether they're believers or non-believers. It's what draws his goodness. Because if someone could say, if your God is so good that he heals, then he's the God I want. To me, it's your foot in the door. It's your bait on your hook as a fisherman. All right? Kingdom benefits require a mindset change. You can't walk in the kingdom of God and have this natural mentality that the human race fell under at the fall. When the conscience was awakened. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures. Proverbs 4. Like I've said before, I'll say it again. We will never be able to help anybody unless we can get their focus off of their pain and the distress they're going through and onto the Word of God. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Most people are attending to the symptoms. They're attending to the pain they're going through. My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for their life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. That's why I believe it with all of my heart. 2 Corinthians 10 through 5 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's why I have a hard time with the mixture of medicine. With me, I guess sometimes I have to walk a little higher because the Lord requires it of me. I can't just grab anything anymore. I have to. If I start getting into trouble and I'm wondering what's the deal here, Lord? He said, you stepped over in the spirit. He's going to beat you to death over there or you stepped over into the flesh. He'll beat you to death in the flesh realm. If you stay in the spirit, you'll be defeated. That's where your armor's on. If you step in the spirit, he can't defeat you. If you step in the flesh, he will beat you to a pulp. And see, that's where these halting between two opinions. Our gospel's been so watered down in this area, it just makes me want to scream. The system of the world has overtaken what should have been the kingdom of God. A lot of people believe, medicine, that's part of God and all that. And I'm thinking, well, he may let people be in that place because what else can he do? That's all he's got to work with. But in the beginning, it was not meant to be that way. It was meant the kingdom of God operates this way. The system of the world operates this way. That's why the prophet said, how long are you going to opt between two? Either serve Baal or serve God. There's no in between. That's probably why we don't get a lot of results. And that's what this training is about, is learning to stay in the spirit. If you stay in the spirit, you will not fulfill, it says, the lust of the flesh. I'm thinking, how much plainer can it get? But you've got so many that are so dependent. They're such babies that they can't hardly stand to hear that. God has to gradually... That's why John said, change your minds. See, changing of your mindsets about things, about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God operates. Instead of it's just all mixed together in this big old pot. And we never know what formula to use because it's just a big old mixing pot, you know. All right, we looked at Paul's thorn is not sickness. And today the focus is going to be on you do not have to pray for faith. Do not pray for faith. You never pray for faith. We're going to look at why. Okay? Romans 10. A lot of people say, well, Lord, if it's your will, heal me. And Lord, I pray you'll give me more faith. I guess I just don't have enough faith. That's kind of like saying, well, I guess I just don't have any sight. Or I guess I don't have any hearing. Faith comes with the deal. Let's look over there. All right. Verse 6, 10, 6. But the righteousness based on faith, imputed by God and bringing right relationship with Him, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead, as if we could be saved by our own efforts. But what does it say? The word of God's message in Christ is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, and the basis of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So your faith is activated. Right here in 17. So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ the Messiah Himself. In other words, when the word of God is heard, it activates your faith. You have been given, I think that's Romans 12:3, the measure of faith. Mark 11, when you read it, in, especially in the Thompson chain, it has a reference about the faith of God. It actually says God's faith. So the same faith God used in Genesis has imparted to you a measure of that faith that you can use and you can grow. Now, faith can be greater or less, but what do? Pray. It says, Jude talks about building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how you get faith. You don't have to pray for faith. Hear the Word. That's why in Acts, if you'll notice in Acts, some places they went, while they were preaching, they were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost all at once. Or Paul preaching, guy over there lame. He said, I perceived he had faith to be healed. Faith rose up in him as he was preaching the gospel, and he was healed. Now, if you're having a problem with your faith, or so you think, get some hearing. Get to hearing. I know this. Anytime I come under something that I feel like I'm starting to kind of doubt myself and waver a little bit, if I'll get in that word and just start reading the word, doesn't even matter what word it is. It's like I see the truth. I see who I am. It's like looking in that mirror that we looked at a few weeks ago. Looking in God's, the mirror of God's word. Because when we get away from it, we forget who we are. We forget we're healed. Okay. Jesus' ministry consisted of teaching, preaching, healing. This is why I say, it's, I guess it was Paul that said, don't lay hands on anybody suddenly. And I believe that the reason is because they need to know the word. Because that word is going to activate their faith to receive. That's why I don't like to, somebody wants me to pray quickly. I don't like to do that. Unless we can sit down and let's go through some scriptures first. See, we got to get their attention on the word. See, word, the word comes, they see it in the scriptures for themselves, and then faith rises up. It's like healing school. Okay, the measure of faith. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. I'm just going to read, not the whole chapter, just a few scriptures. Verse 7 is the first one. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice. What is the voice of the Holy Spirit saying today? It's talking about what you have and who you are. Righteousness. How healed you are. How provided you are for. See, the problem is we get over into that natural realm and we start saying little things. We do. That negates the grace. Verse 15, then while it is still called today, if you would hear His voice, then when you hear it, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the desert when the people provoked and irritated and embittered God against them. God, He brought them out rich and walking in divine health. And all they wanted to do is gripe and complain. They would never say, we got a great God. Look what God has done. God wanted to take them in and give them Canaan. But they still got stuck in between. They couldn't ever make up their mind. Okay. All right, 4:7. Again, he sets a definite day, a new today, and gives another opportunity of securing that rest, saying through David after so long a time in the words already quoted today, if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts. Think about it. Think about living in this life and never having to go to the world for sickness or for money or for, you hear what I'm saying? You're just so in love with the Word. You hear the Word, faith in the Word. God has provided all of these things and He'll do it all for you. And if you need to go to the world, He'll direct you to the world what to do. It's just that walk. It's heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. That's His plan. Always has been. Okay, James 1:19. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, slow to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. Do you ever get mad at God because you don't think you're seeing what you ought to be seeing? Well, Lord, this ain't gonna wash. You ever tell him his business? How much you know better than him, what he's doing? He knows what he's doing. Okay, Revelation 1:3. I can't stress enough, be in the Word as much as you can. Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it, or hear it read, and keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time of them to be fulfilled is near. I think you can go to the book of Revelation and read that, and you've got problems in your body, and you can receive faith. Every word of God is active, it's full of power, it's useful for correction. There's power in every word. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Even the begets, if that's all you got. Okay, 2:7. He who is able to hear, let him listen to and give heed to what the Spirit says to the assembly's churches. To him who overcomes is victorious, I will grant to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Verse 11. He who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Spirit says to the assembly's churches. He who overcomes is victorious shall in no way be injured by the second death. You didn't think that all that was in that Revelation, did you? There was such richness in the book of Revelation, not just about end times. I mean, this is the only book in the Bible that says you will be blessed if you read it. A lot of people avoid it. 17. He who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Spirit says to the assembly's churches. To him who overcomes, conquers, I will give to eat of the manna that is hidden, and I will give him a white stone and a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows or understands except he who receives it. He let your mom and dad name you, but he's got a name for you. I wonder, Lord, what's my name? What's my real name? He's got one. 29. He who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Holy Spirit says to the assembly's churches. All right, Acts 10:22. It's very, very important that we hear. Don't just hear one time, but hear. Always be hearing. Hearing what the Spirit's saying. He's speaking to the church all the time. 10:22. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, captain, who is just and upright and in right standing with God, being God-fearing and obedient and well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, has been instructed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house, and he has received an answer to prayer, a warning to listen to and act upon what you have to say. I'm thinking, why didn't the angel just tell him? Because God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to bring the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's how you get born again. That's how you get whatever you need in your life to get healed. Yeah. God will send you to people with problems. He will give you a message they will hear, and it will activate faith in them to be saved, healed, and delivered. How can they hear without a preacher? That's Romans 10:14. We must be ready. It could be life or death for some of them. It probably will be. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, be instant in season and out of season. If you're not keeping honing your skills, staying on the edge, in the word, in prayer, then you won't be in season to where you can move with the Holy Spirit when he says, you know. This is how Jesus operated. Matthew 4:23-25. Just one little instance. It's all through the Gospels, but and he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every weakness and infirmity among the people. So the report of him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all who were sick, those afflicted with various diseases and torments, those under the power of demons and epileptics and paralyzed people, and he healed them. And great crowds joined and accompanied him about, coming from Galilee and Decapolis. And then in 5 it says, seeing the crowds, he went up into the mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them. So here he's doing all this healing, and over here now he's up on the mountain teaching them. Okay, one more, Matthew 8. You can read this all through the Gospels. And Jesus came down from the mountain. Great throngs followed him. And behold, a leper came up to him and prostrated himself, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you're able to cleanse me by curing me. He reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing to be cleansed by being cured. And instantly his leprosy was cured and cleansed. I'm telling you today, and this is the absolute truth, there will come a time, and I don't think it's very far in the future, that when people get a hold of the fact, when they start seeing healings happen, forget anything else that's going on in the world. There'll be multitudes, bringing the sick, laying them in the streets, the very shadow of you walking by. I'm telling you, this is what's happening. I heard somebody say the other day, I don't even remember what it was. They said, you hear people say about revival, revival. It's not going to be a revival. It's going to be the day when God's glory rests on this earth. It'll be more than just a revival. When I think about a revival, I think about Baptist revival, you know, singing a hymn. No, we're talking about God's glory shows up. Power shows up. It's going to turn everything upside down, even the Democrats. Don't you want to be a part of this? Okay. Acts 3. We got to get used to this. Just going about our business. Well, how is the work? Well, I got a little bit of paperwork done, but on the way to work, you know, we cast out a demon, that guy over there, and this guy over here, you know, he has his arm growed out, you know. What's our real business? Verse 1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when a certain man crippled from his birth was being carried along, who was laid each day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he might beg for charitable gifts from those who entered the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, we got bums on every street corner around here. He asked them to give him a gift. Peter directed his gaze intently at him, and so did John, and said, look at us. And the man paid attention to them, expecting that he was going to get something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold money I do not have, but what I do have, that I give to you. In the use of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He took hold of the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up, and at once his feet and ankle bones became strong and steady. And leaping forth, he stood and began to walk, and he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking about and praising God. And they recognized him as the man who usually sat begging for alms at the gate, beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement, bewilderment, consternation over what had occurred to him. So they're just on their little Christian duty. They were going to prayer. And a beggar was there. Better get ready for it. We must be tuned in 24/7, follow the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus did. This is what the disciples did. This is what we have to do. Mark 16, these signs you follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So go out into your marketplace, be led by the Spirit, and allow Jesus to save and heal through you. You are his body. You're just the instrument. Reverse roles. Get as used to following the Spirit as you have been in following your normal routine. Make yourself available. Meet for the Master's use. Start making, going out, looking for opportunities just as normal as you getting up and doing your routine before you go to work. It should be a normal part of our lives. It was for Peter and John. They was ready for their prayer hour. And they saw the man. Okay.